got it. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." I know that that might be hard for us to comprehend just because the sentence structure is different than the way we talk today. So let me read it one more time. For God who said light will shine out of darkness is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. I don't know about you, but I love Christmas lights. In fact, not too far from my house, there's somebody in the neighborhood, and to this day, I really want to swing by when it's not Christmas season so I can ask them, how in the world have you done it? Because they literally have this ginormous tree, and they wrapped every single branch, starting with the trunk and all of the little branches that shoot out from it and all the tiniest branches that shoot out from the little branch. And that's all the way up. It's probably a good 35, 40 foot up at the top. And every time I drive past it, it's really the only thing that's lit in their house. Everything else is just like mediocre. But that, it's just this weird, like, I don't know, giant Christmas twig lit up. And I look at it and I think, the patience, the endurance, the tenacity of whoever it was that wrapped that thing, but I still love it. And their neighbors probably hate it because there's cars that park right around there and they just kind of look at it. It's not too far from Bob and Mary's house, and it probably keeps you up at night, does it? You know, I don't know. You know what I'm talking about? Yes, you do, don't you? It's crazy how much they put these lights on this thing, but I still love it. And I think every year that's part of something that we've enjoyed is looking at the Christmas lights. And but more importantly than that, the reason we do lights, the reason they're significant is because there's the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of who Jesus is should change everything. And I want you to think of how dark Christmas would be if there were no Christmas lights. Can you imagine the dark winter? Just boring, blah winter. In fact, if you go down a street and you see so many houses lit up with Christmas lights, and then you see the one dweeb right in the row of maybe 10 Christmas, and if you're the dweeb, I'm sorry, I'm not offending you, hopefully, that you didn't have any Christmas spirit to cover your house with at least one twinkle light, okay? You know, or something like that. But you go down the streets and you see, you know, Jeff Pagel's house, and there's no lights on it whatsoever. No, I don't know. No. So, is there really no lights? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I don't know what's going to happen, but something's going to happen at some point at their house. I'm not saying do this, but one year, one kid in my youth group, this was about 15 or so years ago, some kid in my youth group who was just getting saved, went through the neighborhoods and stole Christmas lights and decorations from probably 50 different houses. And then over the course of a whole evening, they peppered my entire house with everyone else's Christmas lights. I had like 5 or 6 nativity light up displays. I had all kinds of weird stuff. And when I came out, there was all this and I'm going, ah! I don't know if I'm going to be in prison or what, or if, you know, Santa's going to visit for sure. I don't know. It was just scary. And I put a big sign, please come get your Christmas decorations from my house. We still had stuff that no one ever claimed, and it was amazing. So, but I look at, if Christmas had none of that, it really would feel differently to me. But not just the real Christmas lights. If the reason, if the knowledge of Christ wasn't in me, my life would be different. I would go through life so different. And I don't know how people do life without Jesus. There are many times, especially in the Christmas season, I know some people have lost loved ones. Parents have passed away. Siblings have passed away. Heartache. You know, some people have lost jobs right at Christmas. Some people go through sickness and stuff. They find out they have cancer right in this Christmas season. And there's all kinds of diverse situations that people go through. But every time I hear these overwhelming, difficult things that people process, often I ask myself, how can someone get through it if they don't have Jesus? Have you ever asked yourself that? How can someone get through life if they don't have the hope that Jesus brings? It's a light in the darkness of my world. When I look around, there's a lot to be depressed about if there isn't hope. If there isn't peace, if there isn't future, if there isn't salvation for even my own soul, because it's amazing. I look in the mirror and I see flaw after flaw after flaw. And the only thing that gives me peace is grace. Knowing that God saved me, Ben, in spite of myself, not because of anything good I've done, but because he loved me so much. He loved me so much that he gave. And so every Christmas I remind myself, it's like, what would happen if the spirit of Christmas, if the spirit of God wasn't alive and vibrant in us? It makes me think about Philippians 2, 14 through 16. The same guy who wrote in the letter to the Corinthians church, he also wrote to the Philippians. And here's what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you to turn there real quick with me. In Philippians chapter 2, he talks about something that I feel is very, very important at Christmas time. This entire letter to the Philippian church is kind of like a letter that I would say should have been written at Christmas, because everything in it applies to this message today. He says in chapter 2, if you were to read verses 14 through 16, you'd get a feel for it. But I just want to read verse 14. Verse 14 says this. It says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Any cynics and whiners just want to say amen? Oh, I meant giggle. Any cynics and whiners want to giggle? So I'm telling you, it's amazing. When I look at this, I think, wow, Pastor Ben, are you a complainer and a whiner and a grumbler sometimes? But definitely not in service on Sunday. I mean, I have to be very righteous and holy and preach good stuff. So I better not complain and whine and gripe on Sundays, you know. But verse 15 goes on to say this to the Philippians and to you and I. The reason we should do all things without grumbling and disputing is so that we may prove ourselves to be blameless, innocent, children of God, above reproach. Here's where it is. In the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, among whom each and every one of us as believers should appear as Christmas lights. You should appear as Christmas lights, shining brightly in this world, holding fast to the word of life. Holding fast to the word of light. I bet some of you twinkle than more than others. I bet some of you twinkle. Yeah, you twinkle, Mikey. I like that. I saw some of you on that ugly sweater night with your little light-up sweaters, and you was twinkling that night and stuff like that. But do we twinkle all the time? I don't know. How many of you watch the Christmas Carol every year or something like that, or at least read through some of that story? And if you're not watching it every year, that's okay, because we all are familiar with the story, right? Ebenezer Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge is a popular figure during the Christmas times. Why? Because Charles Dickens wrote this story to capture in the hearts and the minds, the imaginations of children, what it would look like to have a crusty old soul without the light of Christ in it. Ebenezer Scrooge, embittered by all of the loss and pain in life. Marley's dead. His girlfriend, his wife, everything, all of it's ruined, and he's just alone and miserable. Christmas time. And everything he had to comfort himself was summed up in a gold coin. Money was his only hope and future and all of that. And it's just miserable. And so he walked around in a time where the phrase, bah, humbug, meant something. I don't know if anybody legitimately says bah, humbug anymore, do we? I don't think we do. It's not popular. Not nowadays. What do? We grumble and complain. Like, you know, in Pastor Ben's at the checkout at, you know, Kohl's, and I'm standing there and I'm like, ah, I hate lines. I hate them. I really hate them. And I sit there and I think what normally would have taken me 5 minutes to buy now takes me 45 minutes to buy. And it just drives me nuts. So I whine and complain. Yeah, I usually start a conversation with whoever's near. And I really don't care what they're talking about. I just want them to hear me. And so I just am venting. I'm just telling them all kinds of stuff. And I just talk about everything to distract me from the fact that I'm in a line and I'm shopping and it's the least important thing in my life and all of that kind of stuff. And I just hate it. But that's what we do. Instead of saying bah humbug, we whine and we complain. Or let's take it a little bit more true to maybe your experience. We stress out because of all of these stupid Christmas parties we feel obligated we must host. And before the Christmas party starts, if you're a good spouse, I'm not going to point fingers of who it is, the man or the woman, because it could be either one. You run around your house like a mad bear.
People are coming over so we can exchange presents. You put on your smiley face right now, or we're going to talk after the party. You know, and it's just like, what? Come on. Kids, I told you to clean your room. My goodness, how come you... Oh, and everybody's like, I really love Christmas time. It is my favorite. I just love the spirit of Jesus and the lights. I feel everybody's twinkling in my house.
Nobody's twinkling. It's horrible. And then if it's not, then we start to look at the receipts of all of the things we felt translates our love and affections towards those in our family. And your husband says, we sent what to Aunt so-and-so? $50? We don't even know her. You know, she never comes around, but we felt obligated. We sent cards to who? How much is the stamp on that? How much are the cards? We spent how much on cards? And then we go to bed thinking, I'm going to have to pull a second shift. I'm going to have to work longer. Why? Oh, I just love Christmas. And if not hit you now, then it'll hit you in a couple weeks when your credit cards and the statements come due. And we go, whoa, did you see how much we spent on Christmas? Well, I told you we shouldn't have. Well, I did. And it just gets stressful. That's when you twinkle. That's when you're shining the light of Christ inside of you. It's the reason for the season. Isn't it? It's amazing. I look at all of this and I think, boy, we don't really shine. Often we don't shine. And I think all of those things just become distractions. They just become distractions. And we forget what Christmas is really about. And we forget the light of Christ that should be in our hearts. And every now and then, something reminds us where the meaning of it is. Why I showed that first video is because I think it's kind of smart to hide the baby Jesus out of the nativity set. Just to remind us that we need to seek and we need to knock and we need to ask and we've got to be chasing after God, especially during Christmas time, because it's the most important thing. But beyond that, I'm sitting here thinking, boy, without Christ, I couldn't do anything in life. And I was thinking of analogies. What would it be like if I didn't have Jesus in my life today? Here's what I would have said. It'd be like hamburgers with no meat. I would hate that. It would be like Six Flags without any roller coasters. Morgan would love that. It'd be the equivalent of a hairless cat or a toothless dog. Like Steve and Julie's dog. So it's both hairless and toothless. No. So this dog's going to be our church mascot one day because I tease him so much. Or it'd be worse. It'd be contracts without any commitments. It would be schools without any real wisdom. It'd be a marriage without any affection or friendships without any honesty. It'd be a home without ever hearing any laughter. Closer to my heart as a pastor, it'd be a church without any power because of no prayer. It'd be like worship without any real singing or joy. It would be a Christian without any transformation. It would, in essence, just be religion without any power. And I think of that, and yesterday I was praying, and I was just walking around the sanctuary, and I was imagining and thinking about when seats are filled with all of my friends and visitors this morning, and I'm praying, and tears were running down my face, and I was saying, God, forgive us for missing the point so often. We need to know you. We need to know you. We need to love you. And the biggest and the most important thing in my life is not that I preach or that I lead a church, but that when I die, I know you. And the most important thing in your life is not that you give presents and you might give better presents than the next person or whatever, or that you have the best family traditions or what. The biggest and most important thing in your life and in my life is that you personally know Jesus Christ. Because you can't live one Christmas without knowing Jesus Christ. You can't live one year without having Jesus in your life. And if you expect to face this new year, all of its challenges and even all of its successes, without Jesus in your life, knowing him more and more every day, you will miss the point. And at the heartbeat of even Paul's letter to the Philippians, he said, I count all things lost when I compare just to the greatness of knowing Jesus. That's what he said. Everything is nothing compared to how great it is to know Jesus. Christmas is nothing compared to how great it is to know Jesus. That's why wise men bowed their knees to say, we found you. We found the King of the universe. That's why shepherds came coming and calling. They said, yeah, we saw the angels. We've come here. And that's why I'm here this morning, because I know Jesus. I know Jesus personally. He changed my life when I was 17. I knew of him before that. But when I was 17, my life changed. He became so real to me. And from every day since then, I've just grown more and more in knowing him. And I haven't even begun to go past the surface, it feels like. There's so much more to know Jesus. Paul says in his letter in Philippians, he says, I just want you to know the power of the resurrection. You need to know Jesus this year at Christmas time because you need the power of the resurrection in your life. You need the peace of God that goes beyond your understanding. Sometimes we're so stressed in the Christmas season, we just need a silent night. Do you know? You just need a time where you pull away and know Jesus one-on-one. Just get alone with him. And say, I just need to stop all the hustle and bustle, and I need to get my heart right with you, God. I just need to love on you right now. It's so very, very important. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, it says that Paul is chasing after Jesus because Jesus got a hold of him. Has Jesus got a hold of you this Christmas? Has Jesus got a hold of you this Christmas? I want to flip all the lights off because we're going to come back to a time of worship, because we're going to light some candles here in just a couple minutes. So let's go ahead and flip some lights off. And I've got some ushers, and they're going to pass around these candles. And I'm not sure if the kids want to come in and join us for the candle lighting, but I think they might want to. Give them that option, would you, Troy? But I want you to think of this. Don't get distracted by, Kurt's awesome head and watching him passing out the candles. You just pay attention to what the Lord's putting on your heart right now. Until the Holy Spirit grabs a hold of your heart, I want you to hear what I'm saying here. Until truly God gets a hold of you, you will not get it completely. You'll miss something about God, church, Christmas. You'll miss it. It'll be real close. It'll be like you almost got it. But almost isn't good enough. Second place is still the first loser. I look at this and I think, if you just come really close, you're missing it. And how sad is that? My prayer is this, that you do not miss the main ingredient. That you don't miss the main ingredient to your life. That you don't miss the main ingredient to Christmas. That you don't miss the main ingredient to success this next year. If you want a good marriage, you've got to let Jesus get a hold of you. Do you hear me? If you want to have a good future, young people, I know Bree, you're going to school. So many of you are going to school. You got scholarship stuff. Some of you are right in the midst of junior high or high school. If you want to do your best in life, you have to let God get a hold of you. If you want to know your future, like direction, it's not going to books and going to seminars and doing more research. Let God truly get a hold of you. For some of you who just are aching for God to do more in your life, you want to see miracles, signs, wonders, things like that. I'm telling you, you don't have to try harder. Believe me, you don't have to try harder. That's not how you got saved. That's not how you're going to let the Holy Spirit work in your life. How you're going to experience more in God is you have to let the Holy Spirit get a hold of you this Christmas season. The reason I'm saying all of this rant is because Paul said it first. I'm chasing after him because he got a hold of me. I'm chasing after him because he got a hold of me. Man. Over 2,000 years ago, not really, technically, not at this moment, but this is when we celebrate it. So let's just say, 2,000 years ago, a little more than that, on this day, this evening, Jesus was born. Up until that moment, all of history looked forward to the moment when the Messiah would come, when the Messiah would be born. They were waiting for Jesus to get a hold of them. And from that day since, and when it all culminated at the cross, from that day since, all of those that come to know Jesus come to know him because Christ somehow worked in him, worked in her. And they start chasing after him. I want you to stand with me. I really do believe that when Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:6, the light that shines in the darkness, John talks about Jesus being the light. Jesus is the light of the world. There's darkness in the world, all this kind of stuff. When I think about what he wrote in 4:6 here, light will shine out of darkness. And that light, the knowledge of Jesus, will shine in our hearts. What is he talking about? He's using some Greek terminology to say to a Greek audience, what goes on in between your two ears is very, very important. I cannot make Christ get a hold of you this year. I don't have that power, that control. But what I can encourage you to do this morning is to do what Paul encouraged the church in Philippi to do. Think on good things. Take your thoughts and put them where they should be. That's what you have control over this year. Some of you are already in the rut of what you do every year about this time. You think about the wrong things. You think about the regrets or the shame or the whatever. You can't go there. Stop it. If that's you, this is your message today. Stop the stinking thinking. No more. Don't do it. The molly grubs, don't go there. Get out of the pit of despondency and despair. Don't go there. If you lost a loved one, remember the good things in their life. Remember and celebrate what is good, but don't stay in sorrow. Treat it like a jacket. Take off the sorrow and put on the right thoughts. There is so much that you have control over. And so Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever is true. I want you to think about this. Whatever is true, this is how you're really going to light this light. This is just a dumb little candle. It's cute. I like it because it's kind of a tradition-y thing. But what does it symbolize? It symbolizes the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ in your heart. And that if God's going to light up your mind, you have to give him room. So if you're not thinking the truth, you need to stop thinking those lies or suspicions or whatever. And you need to let the thoughts of Jesus creep into your heart and your minds today. So whatever's true, think about that. Whatever is honorable, he says, think about that. This is all in Philippians 4:8. So whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever's pure, think the best. Think the best of other people this Christmas season. Why? You got to shine. Not just thinking the best, but whatever is lovely. This is hard for me to do. I am not a lovely thinker. I like to think of cynical things and dark things and twisted things. And so I have to take my brain off of that and say, God, what is the most lovely thing to think about? Paige. I think about Paige. I think about Haley and Chloe and Bree. Chicky Mama. I think about everyone. I think about Jesus dying for me. Loving me. I think about some lovely things. I think about your faces. I think about what God's doing in your life. And there are times when I'm overwhelmed with all the lovely things that God's doing in people's lives. Which means I've got to think about what is of good reputation, what is excellent, what is praiseworthy. Is there anything worthy of praise? Is there anything that God is doing in your life this year that you can say, hey, stop the Christmas craziness? Can we just turn our attentions towards heaven and say, thank you, God, for every good gift that you've given this year. Thank you for every amazing gift. If you've got health, you've got something to praise God for. If you've got kids that are living, praise God, you got some healthy kids. If you've got kids that are serving God, praise God for that. If you've got a wife that still smiles when she looks at you, praise God for that. So whatever it may be, I mean, praise the Lord for, if you got a job, praise God for a job, even if it's a stinking job. Like if you work at Cinemax, praise God for that. It's okay, it's okay. At least it's a job, okay? Praise God. You got a house, if you got a bed, all those things. So we're gonna sing a worship song, And as we sing this worship song, Silent Night, I believe, we're going to start lighting these candles. And as we light these candles, I want you to put your heart before the Lord. And I want you to ask God, the light of God's Holy Spirit, to flood you this Christmas season. Let's go ahead and sing.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child.
But I'm going to dismiss you in a very different way than probably what I've done ever before. I'm going to ask the elders to come down and join me. And what we're going to do is, this came to me just a few nights ago. I was thinking of the blessings of Christmas, and I was thinking of the blessing that comes when ministers lay their hands on you and pray a blessing over you. You know, I could easily quote what the apostles said. You know, Peter said, he goes, hey, silver and gold, I got none. But what I do got, I'm going to give you. He probably didn't say it in that accent. Yeah, that'd be dorky. You know, silver and gold, I really don't have much of. But what I do have is I have the love of Jesus in my heart. And I have the faith that says, I believe that God wants to do something in you. I believe that God wants to do more than what you could ask or imagine this Christmas season. So what I'd like you to do is, we're going to start with the right side, my right side, your guys' left, and we're just going to dismiss you. And row by row, I want you to just file, single file through. And what we're going to do is, we're just going to pray for you. If that's creepy to you, you can just exit and go the other direction. You don't have to come through. We don't have sticky fingers, and we're not going to, you know, mess up your hair. But what we are going to do is, we're going to believe and we're going to have faith that God's going to bless you this Christmas season. I don't know what you need, but Jesus does. Jesus knows what you need. If you need healing, if you need encouragement, if you need a word spoken over you, I believe that God will do something mighty in your life. He really will. And it's not because of you. This frees you up. It's really because He's that good. You need a breakthrough? How many of you need a blessing this Christmas that you can't wrap and put under a Christmas tree? You need God to do something. Only God can do it. Amen. So we'll sing this Silent Night, and I've got some anointing oil here. So let's pray for everybody. Give us a couple seconds, and I'll dismiss you as soon as we get some oil on our hand. Okay. So praise God. Let's go ahead and sing.
Silent Night.